If you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, we'll be reading from there shortly. But before we do that, I'd like to thank you all again for this opportunity that I've been given to be able to expand my knowledge and to learn and train in preaching throughout this summer through this program. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the works of the local church. Now, this is, for me, was a pretty intense study. Reading through this was really hard for me. So I'd like to kind of let you know that if I misspeak or if I make a mistake, I would like you to tell me after the services, because I want to know the truth and I want to be teaching the truth. And so if I misspeak or say something, I would like to have correction in that. And so, but anyways, we're going to get into what the works of the local church. Now, the first question you may ask before we look at the works of the local church is, what is the local church? Well, in Scripture, there are two uses of the word church. The first use of this word is the universal, or the whole group of the saved. And we can see this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, in the context of this verse, Jesus had asked his apostles, who do the brethren say, or who do people say that I, the Son of Christ, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, or and other things like that. And then he asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter replied with, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus goes and says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. On the rock of Jesus being the Son of God, Jesus being the Christ, Jesus will build his church on that. And we can see that this is referring to the universal church, the whole church, the whole group of the saved people. Now, in Scripture, we do not find anywhere where we are commanded, the universal church is commanded, to have collective action. Now, what I mean by collective action is functioning collectively or working together as one. We are not told to assemble or not to have a treasury. There's no collective oversight or collective function that we can find in the Scriptures for the universal church. If there was, then we would be meeting somewhere, you know, every once a year or once a month or whatever was commanded in Scripture. But we don't find any of that. Now, the second use of the word church in Scripture is local, like a local church. And we can see it in these verses. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, it reads, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. It says at Corinth. So it's specifying where this church of God is at Corinth. Also in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. Revelation 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches in Asia. To the seven churches in Asia. Specifying where these seven churches are in Asia. We can also see it in 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the churches of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Thessalonians. And in Romans 16 and verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. So we can see the churches of Christ. There is multiple. So we can see that there is the second use of the word church is for a local church at a certain place. Now we can find in Scripture where it tells this kind of church to function collectively. And like I said before, functioning collectively is working together as one for the purpose of serving God. Now, the requirements for collective action are, first, the agreement to act collectively, as agreeing to act together as one. And then the second is pooling of abilities and or resources, such as taking our abilities or the money that the church raises to preach the gospel or do other things for the gospel and for God. And the last is the acceptance of common oversight, or the acceptance of elders in the church. Now, because we see this means that the Lord provides that the local church assembles. We can see this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Now, we're not going to look into these verses, because this is not what the main study is about. And we could take a whole study looking at these things that we see. But we're just going to kind of go over them. And if you'd like to look more into it, I would ask you to look into it and read upon it. But the first is that the Lord provides the local church assembles. The second is the Lord provides the local church has a recognized membership. And we can see this in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. And we also see it in 1 Corinthians 5 verses 1 through 6. When the man who had his father's wife, he told them to cast him out from them. And then he was saying, why are you puffed up and have this man with you? It wasn't talking about the people of Corinth. It was talking about the church at Corinth. Also, the Lord provides the local church, makes provision for local oversight. And we see this in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. Elders. The Lord also provides that the local church has a treasury. And we can see this in 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. The Lord also provides that the local church functions collectively. And there's two ways that we can function collectively. The first way is through a representative, as we can see in Philippians 1 and verse 5 and 4 and 15. And we'll look into that a little more. And the second way is as a singular unit. And we can see this in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16. And the last thing the Lord provides the local church is to be distinct from another church. And we can see this in Romans 16 and verse 16. Therefore, this means that the local church is not just a plurality of Christians or just Christians assembled. The local church is, however, a group of Christians of a locale who assemble together as a church to worship and work collectively at the Lord's direction. Now, you may ask, well, why isn't the local church or a local church just a plurality of Christians or just Christians assembled? And some brethren may claim that whatever an individual Christian may do, the local church may do also. However, the Scriptures make a distinction between the individual Christian and the local church. Therefore, there is a distinction between the individual Christian's works and the works of the local church. Let us look at these following charts. So a distinction between the local church and the individual Christian. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So we can see that this makes a distinction that the body is not one member. So it makes a distinction of the individual being one member, and then the church, but is many, as we saw in the verse, but the body in the context, many. Also look in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So we can see that there is a distinction between the individual, the actions of them, the you, and the two or three going to the brother, and then them having to take it to the church. Also look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. That it may relieve those who are really widows. We can see here the it being the church. So it makes a distinction between any man or woman who has widows, any believing man or woman who has widows, and a distinction between not letting the church be burdened. And also we can see this with two treasures. Now we're going to look at the method of raising, how we raise money, the individual and the church, how they raise money, who has the oversight of this money that is raised, and how we use the money. Well, the individual, as we can see, the method of raising by the individual is by honest labor. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. So by honest labor, and labor is how an individual raises money. But we see that the church, their method of raising is by voluntary offering. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. I have given orders to the churches of Galatia. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. So you must do also, you being the Corinthians there, the church at Corinth. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper. So by laying aside something, storing up as he may prosper, is how the church, by voluntary offering, is how they raise their money. Now who has oversight of this money that is raised? Well, for the individual themselves. They have the oversight of their money. And we can see this in Acts chapter 5 and verse 4. Acts chapter 5 and verse 4. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now the context here is with Ananias and Sapphira, when they had sold their land and then gave money to the apostles, but they kept back some of it for themselves. And it's talking about, while it remained, was it not your own? While what remained, was it not their own? The land they sold. While it remained, and it was still in the possession, was it not your own? Because it was still in their possession. And after it was sold, was it not in your control? So whatever they got for selling this land, most likely money, was still in their control. But we can see that when they had laid it at the apostles' feet, if we look up in Acts chapter 4 and verse 37, we can see when it was laid at the apostles' feet, the apostles distributed the money that was laid at their feet. So it was no longer in their control when they gave it to the church or to the apostles. And now who has the oversight of the money that the church raises? Well, the local elders. And we can see this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Now, who is this talking to? Well, as we see in verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, to the elders who are among you. So it's talking to the elders among them. And then finally, we're going to get into the use. How or what do we use the money that is raised for? Well, the individual, liberal contribution, and we can see this in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Paying taxes, Romans 13 and verse 7. Providing for the family, 1 Timothy 5, 8 and verse 16. Rest and recreation, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. And other things. They use it for other things. And those four things there are not only the only thing an individual can use their money for. But now what do we see that the church uses the money that it raises for? Well, it uses it for the works of the church. The first thing it uses for is evangelism. And we see this in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. For edification, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Worship, Acts 20 and verse 7. And finally, benevolence, or the relieving of the needy saints, in Acts 6, verses 1 through 6. Now the whole point of this is to show that the argument that whatever an individual Christian may do, the local church may do as well, has no scriptural basis. So we're finally going to get into what are the works, or what is the work of the local church? Well, the first work of the local church is to preach the gospel, or evangelism. Let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of truth. One way the local church upholds the truth is by preaching it. Now turn over to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now. Now this is Paul when he's talking to the church at Philippi. And in verse 3 he said he was thanking God every day. And he was telling them what he was thanking him every day for. And he gets down to verse 5 saying, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now. Well, how did the church at Philippi have fellowship in the gospel with Paul? Well, then we turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. And we see how they had fellowship with Paul. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. The church at Philippi had fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel by sending Paul wages or certain things for his necessities for him to preach. So they have, this would be like us sending money to Craig Binney or to Colton McDaniel. We have fellowship with them in the preaching of the gospel by us sending wages to them for to help them with their necessities. And finally, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. What is the word of the Lord? The gospel. And it has sounded forth. How did the word of the Lord sound forth? Through preaching. It's pretty self-explanatory in this verse. The second work of the church is to build itself up in love, or edification. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Edification of the church was the purpose of Christ giving some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It is God's will for each Christian to grow, as we can see in this verse, unto a full man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The local church should be engaged in this work of edifying itself up in love, as we can see in verse 16. Also turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Why did Paul wish that some spoke with tongues, or some prophesied, or some interpreted? The reason that the church may receive edification. This is the reason why Paul wanted some to spoke with tongues, or that they all spoke with tongues. Also look in verse 12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. The reason they seek to excel is for the edification of the church. The third work of the church is to assemble for worship. And some people decide to put this up with edification or building up itself in love. But we can kind of see a distinction between this, and I like to put it into a third point instead of only three works of the churches. So the first thing we see is to sing. And we can see this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. The second thing, pray. Acts 4, 24 through 31. Partake of the Lord's Supper, Acts 20 and verse 7. Giving, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And teaching, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. Now we can see that with the partaking of the Lord's Supper and giving, it specifically mentions to do this on the first day of the week. So we are to assemble for worship. And the last work of the local church is the relieving of the needy saints, or benevolence. These following passages deal with taking care, or the local church taking care of its own needy. First, we're going to look in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. We can see now all who believed were together, and all had and all things in common. And what did these people do? They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So we can see they sold their possessions and their goods and divided it to the people of the believing who were together who had need. Also in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 35. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. Now when the multitude, we can see in verse 32, of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, when they were together, we can see that none of them, in verse 34, that nor was there anyone among them who lacked, because they sold their possessions and they gave to those who had need. Or they gave it to the apostles, and the apostles gave it to each of anyone who had need, as we see in verse 35. And finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So we can see here again that the church has the responsibility to relieve those who are really widows. Oh. And if the local church is unable to take care of its own needy, then the local church needs to send to other churches to help to provide for it. And we can see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 13 and 15, and Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. So let's look in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 13 through 15. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. And it was written, he who gathered had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. So we can see this is Paul writing to the Corinthians here. And he's telling them, he says, that now at this time your abundance, the abundance that the church at Corinth had, may supply their lack, talking about the churches in Macedonia. So they were telling them to send money with their abundance that they had, with what they had and what they could use, or their abilities, to send money to those who had need. We can also see this in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So they sent money to the churches in Judea who were in a time of need because of a famine. They sent them money or food or certain things for their necessities. And now God authorizes these areas of work in the local church. And this includes all the aids needed to carry them out. Now we don't have a specific mention of a church building, to have a church building in the scripture. But we do have a scripture that tells us to assemble. And how do we assemble without a place? Now we can assemble in a church building or in a hospital or a hotel or someplace like that. But we need at least some place to assemble, to follow this commandment. Now we need to determine the difference between an aid and an addition. So we're going to look at some commands and then look at what would be an aid to following that command and what would be an addition to that commandment. So the first commandment that we see is make an ark of gopher wood. And we can see this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. Now when God told Noah to make an ark of gopher wood, to make the ark of gopher wood, he would have to have some certain kind of tools, such as a hammer or a saw or nails, to put the ark together. But in addition to this would be such as if he added oak wood instead of gopher wood, or if he put a pool on it for recreation or something like that. If he added something that God didn't command it, that's an addition and not an aid to helping him complete the commandment. Also, the commandment when it says to go and preach. We see this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Now, an aid to helping us go and preach would be something such as a car or a boat or a plane, something that aids us in going to preach. But in addition to this commandment of going and preach is if we preached politics or if we preached mathematics or English or science, if we preach other things except for the Word of God, the Gospel, then that would be an addition to when it tells us to go and preach. Another commandment we have is to sing. Now, an aid in singing would be something such as books, songbooks, or a leader to help us lead. Now, an addition to singing would be playing, and such as playing instruments, piano or guitar. Now, there is no, we use in our service a pitch pipe to get the tune, or the pitch. And every song has a pitch. So if we had a piano, we could play that one key to get the pitch. But then we couldn't play it anymore after we started to sing. Because the commandment is to sing. The commandment isn't to sing and play. The commandment is to sing. So when you're singing and you're playing an instrument, that's not singing, and that's not following the commandment of God. Also, another commandment, this do. This do in remembrance of me. This is talking about partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Now, an aid to do this would be something as plates or cups. The plates to hold the bread that we are to eat, and the cups are to hold the fruit of the vine. But in addition to this, this do in remembrance of me, would be something as pizza or soda. We are told, Jesus specifically told us, take, eat, this is my body. And then take and drink, this is my blood. And he's talking about, and at that time it was the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. He didn't have pizza and soda back then. So adding pizza and soda into the Lord's Supper would be unscriptural. And wouldn't be following the commandment of this do in remembrance of me. And the last thing I'd like to look at is the command to assemble. Now we, like I said before, we are commanded to assemble. And an aid to do this is something as a building. Like the church building, the church's building we have here. Or it could be in a field or somewhere. Something that helps, that aids us in assembling. But in addition to this, would be something like a kitchen. Now, the reason why adding a kitchen to the building that you that is built up, or that you rent, or the house that you're in for assembling, the reason why it is unscriptural is because they build it for the purpose of serving food, or for a social gathering. And this is not, nowhere in the scriptures do we see that it tells us to assemble and socially gather, or to eat a food. And we can see this was a problem with some of the Jews in the earlier days, because they were partaking of the Lord's Supper as a common meal. But we see that that in the scriptures that we are to assemble. And adding a kitchen, we could assemble in a kitchen, but the purpose, we have to look at the purpose. If our purpose was to assemble in a kitchen to not worship God, but to eat and socialize, that would be unscriptural. So in conclusion, the local church is a group of Christians in a locale who assemble together as a church to worship and work collectively at the Lord's direction. There is a distinction between the individual Christian's work and the local church's work. It is not true that what an individual Christian may do, the local church may do also. The work of the local church is limited to evangelism, edification, worship, and benevolence. When the local church ventures into unauthorized areas, it is treading on ground that is without divine sanction. The local church is a God-ordained institution designed for a spiritual purpose, and therefore has no business engaging in that for what is not designed, such as social, recreation, worldly entertainment, and secular education. The local church may build and maintain the facilities necessary to do everything which God has commanded the church to do. Before one can justify the local church in building kitchens, banquet rooms, and gymnasiums, he must first find where God has commanded the church to provide for these social meals and recreation. I'd like to thank you for your time this evening and for the study of what the local church, the works of the local church are. Because this is an importance for us. The reason we assemble and the reason we do the things we do is we look into Scripture and we can see it. And that's why the works, why we do these things. And we looked into the Scripture to see what these works are and why we do these works. So now this is the time where we take to call upon the lost ones. And we ask you, if you are here tonight and you have not heard or if you have not obeyed the gospel, but you have heard the Word of God, and you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we ask you to come forward, asking God for forgiveness, turning away from your sins, then confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and finally being baptized, fully immersed in water, and then remaining faithful unto death, as we can see in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Or if you are here tonight and you have not, or if you have stumbled in your faith, and you have stumbled in your walk with God, we ask you to come forward, asking God for forgiveness, if it is of public nature, and to finally ask for the prayers of the brethren, because we will help you, encourage you, and build you up, and help you through your times of hardships. If any of this applies to you, we ask you to come forward as together we stand and sing.